This is the Retirement Solution Podcast with financial advisor John Hicks, founder of J. Hagen Capital.
And I'm Heather Branch here with John to ask for his insight on ways you can better prepare for your financial future. RetirementSolutionRadio.com is where you can go to start your own conversation with John and his team at J. Hagen Capital. We also have links posted in the show notes, so you can just click there or again find us anytime at RetirementSolutionRadio.com. Mr. Hicks, how are you today, sir? In and out of town, I would say you're jet lagged. That's how you've been.
I don't know why it feels like I'm out of town as much as I'm in town. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, I do. My kids play travel soccer.
They sure do.
It is amazing how much time I spend in a car. So if you have to spend twice as much time in a car than you actually get to watch your kid play a sport, we need to reconsider those things. I'm just saying, when you spend 4.5 hours to drive for a 1.5 hour maximum game, it's kind of like, oh, and then 4.5 hours coming back. It's kind of like, was this a wise investment of my time? And then I look at my little cherub's face.
Your little
and I realize, no, it's a terrible use of time, but I still love her very much, right?
Well, and you were talking about expensive hobbies, just the hobby itself, sure. But then we were talking about how it happened. You topped the car off $100 for a tank of gas.
So finally, it's been a while since we eclipsed the three-digit mark. Yeah, well, we hit $100.28.
Isn't it gas goes up, this time of year because the summer travel prices, it starts to go back up, right? We're starting to get into that season.
I have no idea what makes gasoline go up or down. It never makes sense to me.
Everything's expensive.
But, you know, all I know is it was not cheap. It was like $4.52 a gallon or whatever and in Missouri or Illinois or wherever I was.
But don't worry. Inflation is under control. We're getting everything under control, right? Isn't that? everybody, don't worry. It's going to be okay.
Oh, you're just talking pipe dreams and wishes right there.
I heard you and I have a mutual acquaintance, a mutual colleague. Greg was talking about this inflation number, but it doesn't factor in groceries, gas, and one other like mainstay of living. And it's like, well, then what the heck are you measuring the prices on? Like, it's basically everything that we're paying all this money for that matters.
Yeah, it's funny how they calculate that stuff.
Yeah, right?
I know.
So, all right. Well, in the meantime, for a lot of Wall Street investors anyway, they have been clamoring for the Fed to start making some cuts because, well, I mean, you know, and the news is convoluted, right? Is it or isn't it? Where is inflation? What's going on? What's going to happen with the Fed and interest rates? Because at the end of last year, people were predicting that we would have already seen 2 rate cuts this year, and so far none, and no inkling that it's going to happen. So let's bring in a pop culture reference. You might remember the guy from the movie The Big Short, who he himself saw the subprime mortgage crisis coming in 2008. And this guy, he was brilliant and he made almost $1 billion. That's why it was called The Big Short. He shorted the market. Steve Eisman was on CNBC and gave his take on the markets and the Fed and said this.
I feel that ever since Greenspan was in charge of the Fed has always been extremely insensitive to its own impact on markets. And, you know, when Powell said financial conditions are tight, I was like, what planet are you on? So, I mean, my view is the economy's fine. I personally think there should be no Fed cuts this year. And, you know, the market will do whatever the market does. But my actual fear is that if the Fed were actually to cut rates, the market becomes, I guess, bubblicious. And then we have a real problem.
Bubblicious. So what do you think about that, John?
I remember. Were you a Bubblicious fan or a Hubba Bubba?
Which is the one that had the juice in the middle when you bit into it? That's the one I did not like.
Oh, yeah.
Gushers or something?
Back in the day. Yeah, I was basically Big League Chew.
Got it.
So Bubblicious, what a great term. And he wasn't talking about Kardashians or something. So that's interesting. No, so the Fed, what are they going to do? And here's what I'd say. Doesn't matter. I mean, if you need a new home loan or a new car loan or a new appliance loan or a boat loan, then I'd say higher rates, those might affect you. It may not be the greatest time to, you know, to borrow money. Mm-hmm. But if you're like a lot of the people that I talk to, they're like, it's a lot better if the bank gives me 4 or 5% than 0 or 1. And that's the game I'm in. So if the Fed doesn't lower rates, I think that's great if we understand that we should take advantage of some of these rates at the moment. So, you know, what I've been telling my clients, and I kind of think, and I have thought up until this most recent CPI number, I've kind of thought that they were going to reduce rates, only because that's what everyone has been saying for a while. And understand where that's coming from. That's coming from the perma bulls, people that permanently want a bull market to only run up, which would be nice. But that's where Steve was just saying, but if you get bubblicious, which means that, hey, things are just kind of pricey, doesn't mean the bubble pops. But guys, it always eventually pops. What I would say is you need a portfolio and you need to think about preparing for both. What if the Fed doesn't reduce rates? And what if they just leave them the same? I feel fairly confident that most everyone thinks that they're not going to raise rates at this point.
Right.
At least nothing in the numbers suggests that they would raise rates. So we're in one of two places. We're either at nearly the highest interest rate environment we've been in for 24 years, or they're going to start reducing from here, right? So if we think about that, what should we do if these are the highest interest rates we may see? And even if they last a little bit longer, because they probably won't raise from here, what should we do? Well, guys, I'm going to tell you exactly what you should do. You should look at maybe a little bit of length or a little bit of duration to some of those fixed income assets you may have. Instead of a 1-year CD paying 5%, I actually saw a 3-year guaranteed fixed annuity paying 6.25%. I mean, I was amazed. I mean, it's not a company that we would use. But the point is that a fixed annuity is a guaranteed by the insurance company, a guaranteed investment similar to a certificate of deposit. But it's 6.25% for 3 years. Now, if someone was inclined to want 6.25%, guys, that's a pretty sure bet. I feel pretty confident in that. So things like that you want to consider. Now, there are other things that I think people can do if they want potentially a better upside, right? So with higher rates often come higher abilities to lever things.
Okay.
There are ways that you can give your money to a bank or an insurance company. And here's the reason why we would do that. We want some guarantees, or we want some securities, or we want some safety nets on these investments. But at the same time, instead of them paying us, let's say 4 or 5 or even 6.25%, what they do instead is they pay options on a stock market. Now, why would we do that? Well, because interest rates are really high right now, and there's a good chance that you could get whatever the upside of the stock market is, maybe up to 12 or 13 or 14 or even 15%. So if the stock market goes up from here, you would have no risk to this type of investment. It's called insured indexing, where you just get a bank or an insurance company to insure your principal so you can't lose it. But if that index goes up, you may get all the way up to 15 or 16 or 17%. Guys, that's kind of good if you think about it. Now, these strategies have been around for decades, but interest rates haven't been this high since 1998.
Right.
So they haven't been as appealing until now. But if you have an opportunity, and think about it, if you have an opportunity, say, John, I do believe in the long run market. I just really want to do the best I can and have some protection. Well, think about it. If you give your money to a bank in this example, let's call it a principal protected note. That's what they may call this. And they insure your money against loss. Some of them can be FDIC insured, but most of them are just backed by that bank. So take your pick. You want a strong bank, but they're going to insure your money against loss. And if the stock market goes up, let's say 12 or 13 or 14%, you literally may get 100% of that upside. Now, if the stock market goes up 30 or 40%, you may not get all the difference, right? You may be capped out at, let's say, 14% in that example. But that's not bad for risk-free money, right? So to me, whether rates come down or stay the same, this is a really attractive environment for your safer assets. So if you have some old stuff in your portfolio, especially bond funds, guys, I've watched way too many of you come in and you got these bond funds that frankly have never been very good. And I just don't see how they're going to function very attractively going forward, too. Why wouldn't you think about changing that out for something that can't lose money, that you may get some really good upside, whether it's 6.25% in the example I gave earlier, you know, if someone's interested in that kind of thing. But I think that using the leverage with insured indexing is kind of attractive in this environment. Now, if rates come down a bunch, will that strategy be as attractive? Well, no. So you would want to maybe consider doing something else, right? But if someone says, hey, John, what would you do? I'm like, I would consider some of that. So what happens if rates do come down? You locked in at a great time. You're going to get a much higher potential upside. And if rates do move down, the stock market probably will go up. So that seems like kind of a win-win situation. And of course, those are not right for everyone. You need to consult an advisor or your person or your CPA or whoever you talk to. But frankly, I'd rather you just give my team a call. Because if you do that, we'll show you, hey, where you are, some of the assets that may not have been that great to you or may not look that great going forward. Maybe you replace a handful of those with the things I've been talking about so that you can keep your money, maybe even safer, maybe even reduce your fees and your costs on that, and ultimately, hopefully, take advantage of the high rates to get a much better return.
RetirementSolutionRadio.com is where you can go to begin this conversation with John and his team about your retirement savings and investments. We also have links posted in the show notes, so you can just click there or, again, visit us anytime at RetirementSolutionRadio.com.
Thanks for listening to the Retirement Solution Podcast with John Hicks. Begin the conversation about your savings plan with John and the team at J. Hagen Capital by visiting RetirementSolutionRadio.com. Be sure to listen to John's radio show, The Retirement Solution, Saturdays at 8 a.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m. on News Radio 840 WHAS.
J. Hagen Capital Inc. is not licensed in all 50 states. To find out if J. Hagen Capital Inc. is licensed in your state, please call 502-690-5635. J. Hagen Capital Inc. is not affiliated with nor endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency. It does not provide legal or tax advice. Annuity guarantees rely solely on the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurance company. By contacting us, you may be provided with information about insurance and annuity products offered through Jonathan Hicks, insurance license number 548962.